at verse number 22. Now, Paul and Silas were preaching in the city of Philippi. They were preaching the gospel. Sometimes preaching the gospel can be dangerous because they stirred up some trouble in that place. Verse number 22, and the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes. They were so mad. They ripped their clothes off and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer, keep them safely. Imagine that. Who, having received such a charge, he thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas was whimpering and crying and complaining to God. No. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed. And they sang praises unto God so loud the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, Lord, I love when God moves suddenly. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakened out of his sleep, seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword. He would have killed himself, supposing the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and he sprang in and he came trembling and he fell down before Paul and Silas and he brought them out and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour. Somebody say the same hour. They didn't wait till the next Sunday or they didn't wait till the next opportunity. But the same hour of the night, he washed their stripes and was baptized. He and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. My precious brothers and sisters, friends and neighbors, it's the will of God that not only you be saved, he wants to save all your house. Hallelujah. He wants to save you. He wants to save your mama. He wants to save your daddy. He wants to save your cousin. He wants to save everybody. Hallelujah. It's the will of God that all be saved. So today I want to title my message from verse number 30. What must I do to be saved? I want to be saved. Let's pray together. Father, in the glorious name of Jesus Christ, you said where two or three are gathered in your name, you would be right in our midst. Now, Lord, we acknowledge your presence, and you chose by the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I pray for a spirit of faith to come into this place. Open eyes, that hearts be ready to receive. And Father, I pray not one person will leave the same way they came in, but do what only you can do. Save, oh Lord, save to the uttermost. We pray in Jesus' name. And everyone say amen. Praise God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. He's so thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. In Jesus' mighty name. God bless you, and you may be seated. What must I do to be saved? I personally believe that of all the questions anyone could ever ask, there's no more question more important than that one. What must I do to be saved? I believe that that's a question perhaps that's on the minds of so many people that come to the church. They don't want to know, what must I do to get over? Or what must I do to be famous? Or what must I do to have money? Or any of these other things. And some of these things are, you know, they're pretty good. But the most important thing is, what must I do to be saved? Hallelujah. And so in our text this morning in Acts chapter 16, we find Paul and Silas being arrested because they stirred up the devil. Whenever you preach the truth, you're going to stir up the devil. Why? Because this is war. Hallelujah. If you come to God to be saved, that your troubles may be over, you are deceived. This is war. So don't be bent out of shape when things come against you. When you make your mind up, I'm going to live for God, I'm going to win souls, I'm going to teach Bible studies, all hell will break loose in your life. This is war. Salvation is not for crybabies. Salvation is not for people that got the attitude, bless me, bless me, bless me, bless me, my. It's not about that. This is war. It takes a real man to live for God in these last days. It takes a real woman to live for God in these last days. And when you stand up for truth, you're going to get opposition. So the devil got disturbed. The magistrates rolled up and they grabbed Paul and Silas and thrust them not just in a prison, but in the inner prison, the worst place for the worst of all the criminals. And there was Paul and Silas, chained up, beaten, bloodied, eyes swollen, lip busted. Why? Because they preached the gospel. Now, this place they had put them, it was well known in the region as one of the worst places you could be. Some theologians call it a hole in the ground. It was like a dungeon, and it was reserved for the worst of the worst. And there were all kinds of sounds that would come out of that hole. Anytime you go past that place, it was not unusual to hear moaning and groaning and weeping and crying and cursing and profanity. But when they put Paul and Silas in that hole, there was a different sound. They heard singing. Let me ask you a question. Can you sing when your world is all upside down? Can you still praise God when you lose your job? Can you still worship the Lord when your world is all messed up? Anybody can praise God when it's going good. But can you praise him in the middle of the valley? Can you praise him in the midst of your sickness? Hallelujah. Can nothing be able to stop your praise? In the dungeon, Paul and Silas were praying and singing. And the Bible says, till all, everyone say all the prisoners heard them. Now, I don't know how big this place was, but I imagine it wasn't a little small little place. So that means in order for all the prisoners to hear Paul and Silas praying, in order for all the prisoners to hear Paul and Silas singing, Paul and Silas weren't doing it quietly. Amen. No. They were singing so loud, they lifted their voice like a trumpet till the whole prison could hear them. Hallelujah. Some people get nervous when they get around us because they be like, why y'all so loud? Why y'all preach so loud? Why y'all sing so loud? One lady came to my church years ago. She said, y'all too loud. She said, God ain't deaf. But I got a feeling God likes it loud. He likes it loud. There's something in worshiping out loud. There's something in praising him out. They get God's attention. He likes it loud. Now, there's a lot of things people are going to say about this church, but one thing they ain't going to say, it was sleepy in there. They're not going to say that about us. They're going to say, those people are fanatics. Those people ain't got no sense. They don't know when to be quiet when the preacher preacher. They don't know how to keep still when the music moves. Hallelujah. Because we do it the way God wants us to do it. Amen. It's all right to clap your hands. It's all right to shout hallelujah. God likes it loud. Oh, my friend, and when they begin to sing, when they begin to pray, Bible says suddenly there was a great earthquake. The foundations of the prison were shaken. Oh, can you imagine what would happen in this house if God shook this place? Lord, you ain't been to church till you've been to a Holy Ghost church where the place gets shooken up. Everybody, not just a few. Paul and Silas, all God needs to start it is two people. Because what we got, brothers and sisters, is contagious. Hallelujah. It might start on that side of the church. You over there looking at them giggling. Hold on a minute. Because this thing can spread from one end to the other. You be jumping around, shouting, acting like you never thought you would act when the Holy Ghost gets to moving. Hallelujah. Somebody say, everybody. Everybody got loose. Come on. Man, can you, woo, my Lord, if I could just picture everybody in the building getting loose, miracles would take place. Deliverance would take place. The manifestation of God will come into this place like we've never seen it before. When we can get all in one mind, all of us in one accord, all of us determined that God's going to move in this house. Everybody got loose. And their chains were broken and the doors were opened. And that jailer who had the responsibility of keeping these guys locked up, he was awakened out of his sleep. He opened his eyes and all he could see was dust, stones knocked over. He woke up and, what in the world is happening here? And he looked up and he saw the doors off their hinges. All the prison doors were open. And he felt like, oh, I'm in trouble now. I'm in trouble now. Not only have the prisoners escaped, but our two special guests are gone. Because nobody in their right mind will stay in the cell with the doors wide open. So he figured, I'm in trouble. It's over for me. And instead of letting the authorities punish me, I'll just take my own life. And that jailer took out his sword and he was like, it's over now. I've come to the end of the line. It's over. And he went to stab himself when he heard a voice. Hold it. Hold it. Do thyself no harm. We ain't going nowhere. We are still here. When I read that scripture, something just triggered up inside of my spirit. And I'm thinking, Lord, I don't know who's going to be in service this morning. I don't know where people are going to be coming from, but perhaps there's somebody in here. And you've looked there and you've looked there and you visited that church and you've been to that church and you watched the jokers on television preaching and nothing has changed in your life. And you're saying, God, I'm going to go to this church here today. And if nothing don't happen for me today, it's over. I prayed and I've waited and God, I need help. If you don't move today, I'm just going to quit. But I hear a voice. saying, hold on a minute, sister. Hold on a minute, brother. Don't cash in your chips yet. We are still here. What do you mean? The same church that's in the Bible is still here. The same power that's in the scripture, we are still here. It's not too late for you. You're in the right place. You're in the right place. Ooh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Now watch this, watch this. Then the Philippian jailer, he saw Paul and Silas. Now look at the scriptures, look at this, look at this. Verse number 29. Then he called for a light and he sprang in, and now he came trembling. He came trembling before Paul and Silas. He brought him out. Watch this. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? The first thing that came to my mind was how he addressed them. Yeah. Yeah. Sirs. Oh, we sirs now. Okay. 20 minutes ago, we weren't nobody to you. 20 minutes ago, we were common criminals. You didn't care nothing about us. But now your eyes are opened. And we are not just regular Joes on the street. We are sirs. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? In essence, he was asking them this question as well. Sirs, what must I do to have what you got? I know something different about you. I know something unique about you. Church, we have a responsibility to be the salt of the earth. It ought to be a sin for a Holy Ghost-filled child of God to come to church with their eyes droopy and their hands hanging down and their lips off. That ought to be a joy in your face. That ought to be something about you that people are going to look at you and say, I want that. I want what she got. I want what he got. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what happened on your job. It doesn't matter what's going on in your world. He is always worthy to be praised. Hallelujah. People want what we have. We've got something to shout about. We got something to brag about. We got something to dance about. We got the truth. Hallelujah. Sirs, what must I do to get what you got? What must I do to be saved? That's the essential thing. It's all about salvation. It's not about prosperity. It's not about getting ahead. It's not even about being happy. Because you can be happy and still go to hell. You can have good health and still go to hell. For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and then lose his soul? The number one need of the hour, sister, is that you be saved. And not just saved any old kind of way, but saved according to the scripture. He that believe and is baptized shall be saved. Preacher! I want to know what I need to do to be saved. See, we got too many people coming to church to be entertained. Everybody just want to come into church and see the show. Amen. And there are churches a dime a dozen that'll put on a show for you. Oh, yes, they will. I've been to some of those, and some of y'all go to them now. That's all it is. It's entertainment. Preacher gets up on the platform. Jerry Carroll's all on his shoulder. Got that black robe with stripes up and down the arm. Gets in the pulpit and act like James Brown. Folks be like, what? That's my pastor. Gets in there, man, and know how to do it. He started what they call hooping. Folks love that stuff. Well, they be like, oh, he getting ready to preach now. Well, I woke up early this morning. I was clothed in my right mind. And then the organ. Folks jump up, grab their handkerchief, start shining their shoes. That's what people like. And when the service is over, they walking out, man, pastor preached. What did he say? I don't know, but he preached. Folks love that. But then you ain't gonna get that here. Our number one objective is to make heaven your home. Whether you like it or whether you don't like it, whether it blesses or whether it blesses, we're gonna tell you the truth. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to change. This is what you need to become. Oh, I want the truth. Somebody say, I want the truth. What must I do? Now, the Philippian jailer. The Bible doesn't go into detail about his life, where he came from. It don't tell us a whole lot of things about him. But the question implicates certain things about him that's really important. The question, sirs, what must I do? Tell us some things about the jailer. Number one, it tells us that the jailer knew he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. Why would he ask the question? What must I do to be saved? It implies he knew it. He knew he wasn't saved. And in this hour that we're living in now, that's the biggest challenge of a preacher, is to help people recognize you are lost. You need God. You're not living right. People get offended. They get upset. You point your bony finger at the tip of their nose and say, you better get right with God. They get an attitude. You ain't perfect. You don't know me. Me and God, we tight. And then you get this one. God knows my heart. That alone ought to scare you. Because he knows you're hard-headed. He knows you're stubborn. He knows you're rebellious. He knows you're full of pride. Come on now. He knows you better than you know yourself. You need somebody to tell you you're not living right. You are not saved. He knew he wasn't saved. Man, we got so many preachers lying to people. You want to hear a preacher lie? Go to a funeral. I'm about to get in trouble right now. But I've been in funerals where you know the guy. You know how he lived. You know he was a sinner and he died without Christ. But the preacher is so concerned about ministering healing to the grieving heart that he would lie just to make you feel good. Well, old Joe in a better place now. I'm like, what? Why? Because people come to church and they want to make me feel good, pastor. Make me feel good, preacher. Nobody wants the truth. People don't die anymore. They transition. That's the big word now. They transition. Woo. It's no funeral. No, no, no. This is not a funeral. This is a homegoing celebration. Trying to make it easier. And they don't bury people in graveyards anymore. They are memorial gardens. I don't care how you sugarcoat it. I don't care how you try to fix it up. The wages of sin is death. Separation from God throughout all eternity. It don't matter what the preachers say over your casket. It don't matter what people say. You're in a better place. Save a seat for me up there. Rest in heaven. All that junk is trash. You need to get back to the Bible and see where the rubber meets the road. You're either saved or you're not saved. You're either ready to meet God or you're not ready to meet God. You need to be honest with yourself. Are you saved or you're not? Don't lie to yourself. The greatest deception is self-deception. Telling yourself over and over, I'm not bad as her. I never done nothing to nobody. All of our goodness is like filthy rags to God anyway. There's only one way you can be saved. Jesus said you must be born again. You need to know, are you saved or are you not? The jailer knew he wasn't saved. What must I do to be saved? The second thing about the jailer, he knew it was possible for him to be saved. You mean somebody as wretched, somebody as wicked as that jailer? That man had a reputation. He enjoyed watching people suffer. He took joy out of seeing men fear in their eyes. He escorted them to the executioner and watched their heads get cut off. He was a wicked man. He had no feeling. He had no conscience. He didn't care. Somebody as evil as that, somewhere in his heart, he recognized, it's possible for me. God can save somebody like me. Yes. God can forgive me of my sins. Yes. It don't matter where you come from or what you've done in your life. There is no sin so bad that the blood of Jesus can't be applied to your sin and he wash your sins away. He'll move them as far as the east is from the west. Yes, you can be saved. Yes, you can live right. Yes, you can make it. You can. Yes, you can. Brother Easter, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. God is well able to do exceeding and abundantly above all we can ask or think. Yeah, yeah, yeah. You can be saved. You can be saved. This jailer, he knew it's possible for me to be saved. Oh, yes, it is. What was the other thing that implied? This is so important. By him asking the question, it implied that the jailer not only knew he wasn't saved, he not only knew it was possible, but the jailer was willing. He was willing. He was willing. That's one of the biggest obstacles in reaching people is their will. Will you be saved? It reminds me when Jesus saw the man that was lame trying to get to the pool of Bethesda. He trying to get there. How many years? I forget how many years he was in that condition. But he was trying to get to the pool. And Jesus walked up on him and said, wilt thou be made whole? What? Wilt thou? He didn't ask the man, do you want to be well or made whole? He said, wilt thou? Will you be made whole? Well, I've been here all these many years. What do you think? But will you? Will you do what you need to? to do to get what you need from God? Are you willing to repent? Are you willing to obey the gospel? Are you willing, or you just want a blessing? I want to be saved, but the problem with many people is they want to go to heaven on their terms. I want to be saved, but I don't think it takes all of that. I want to be saved, but I don't think that's necessary. I want to be saved, but I'm going to do it my way. There ain't but one way, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one church, one gospel. You don't get to choose, but his way only. It's got to be his way. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. He was willing. He was willing. He was willing. Question is, are you willing? And you're sitting here right now, and you're not saved. You're a good person. You're kind. And you believe in God, but you're not saved. Now that you know that, are you willing to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? Are you willing? When people come to that, most of the time the devil get right in their ear, start, well, you don't really need that. Or the devil come on the other side and say, yeah, that preacher, he preaching right out the Bible, but you need to study a little more. Whatever he can do to cause you to wait, whatever he can do to cause you to put it off, that's his mission. The Bible says today, the Bible says now, today. There is no better time for you than right now. Are you willing to do what God wants you to do? Somebody say right now. Hallelujah. What must I do? When I looked at that question, it's loaded, man. That question is loaded. And I begin to dissect it. And I begin to pick out the words. It's powerful. What must? Everyone say must. See, this is a must. This is a must. You can't get around it. You can't get over it. You can't get under it. You must come in at the door. This is a must. There are some things in the Bible you have no say-so about. But neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we be saved. It's only in the name of Jesus Christ. It's only in the name. You must. He said, what must? What's the next word? What must? It's personal. It's personal. God's calling your number. I'm waiting on my friend. Forget your friend. God calling your number. I have people say, man, I see it. I need to do this. I wasn't expecting this to happen today. Why? I want my husband here, or I want my wife here. When I do this, I want my family here. Let me tell you something. Don't you let nothing or nobody stop you from obeying what God is calling you to do. If you want your family to be here, if you want your husband to be here, let me tell you what we'll do. We will take your picture. We will take your picture and we'll send it to whoever you want to see. But by no means, don't let nothing stop you. Today is my day. I got to do it. I got to do it. What must? Yes. What must I? I've seen it time after time. Time for the end of the service and call people to come up and make a decision. Sometimes you see people coming, they got a gang mentality. They're going to come up with the gang. They sitting there, the Holy Ghost moving like it's moving on some of y'all right now. And you're like, wow, this is real, man. I need to do something. I need to go up front. I need to give my life to the Lord. And he look over at their friends. Are you going? And the friend go, I don't know. I think I'll go if you go. How about y'all? Y'all going? You see them link arm in arm. And they come down the aisle, a whole bunch of them, grouped together. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. But you can do it by yourself. The Apostle Peter said, save yourself. Save yourself. When you stand before the throne, hey man, your buddies ain't gonna be there with you. When you stand before the throne, your mom and dad ain't gonna be beside you. You're gonna be called by yourself, for yourself. You got to save who? Yourself. What must? And the next little word after that. What must I? Woo. You mean I gotta do something? Oh man, I gotta do something. Yeah. Oh yeah. You got to do something. See, that's the difference between being religious and being saved. There are folks that call themselves religious, they don't gotta do nothing. They go to church every Sunday, smoking on the way. Go to church, drinking liquor, taking out the breath mess. Go to church, smoking weed, putting that thing in the eye so the eye won't be red. Don't have to change nothing. Go to church, still shacking up. Go to church, still lying, scheming. Go to church, still being entertained by sin. Watching nasty movies, listening to that ungodly rap music. And call themselves Christians. It's crazy. You look at any one of those award shows, every year, those Grammys or whatever you call them, and they got the number one rap artist this year goes to Snoopy Doopy, whatever. Then they play the music. He walks out there with his chains on, you know, and he gets the award.
Well, first of all, y'all, I want to give honor to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
And I'm thinking, what Lord and Savior he talking about? Because if Jesus is your Lord, you are required to do something. You've got to make some changes. Old things are passed away. Behold, everything becomes new. You're a new person with a new direction, with a new heart, with a new mind. You got to do something. You see, folks are so conditioned by being religious. They want to go to a church where nothing is required of them. Where the preacher gets up week after week telling them what God gonna do for you, how God gonna bless you. They love that stuff. You're about to come out of your cave. God just told me, the lady with the yellow dress, it's at the end of the tunnel. Your miracle is on the way. And they love that. And nobody saved. Nobody saved. Because everybody wants to go to church and not be required to sacrifice. Jesus said, if you're going to be my disciple, you got to do something. What I got to do? You got to take up your cross. Not just on the weekends. It's a lifestyle. And follow me. He means exactly what he says. But there are people that say, well, I don't want to do all that. And that was written way back then. Let me tell you something. Heaven and earth will pass away, but this word will not pass away. What he meant then, he means it right now. You got to do something. You got to do something. Mark chapter 16, verse 16. He that believeth and, you got to do something, is baptized shall be saved. It's not enough just to say, I believe. You got to do something. So what do you need to do to be saved? He told the jailer, you got to believe this thing. You got to believe it. And belief is more than just a conscious acceptance. It's a desire to obey. Amen. What the first thing I got to do? Repent. That means change. Turn around. Quit living for the devil and turn toward the kingdom of God. Put that junk behind you. You got to delete some friends. You got to let some junk go. Repent. That means being sorry for being so hard-headed all these years. Blaming this and blaming that and blaming that. Just own up and say, Lord, I messed up. I made wrong choices. I'm sorry. And not just sorry that you did it, but sorry enough to quit. It's over. No more, devil. Mm-mm. It's done with you. I'm not going to give you another second of my time. I made a decision. I'm turning toward God now. And with God's grace and his strength, I'm going to live the way he wants me to live. It's a turnaround. Everyone say repent. Glory to God. What shall we do? Paul told him, he said, you need to believe this thing. You need to trust God, and not only you, but your household. Your household. See, the things you do don't just affect you. It affects your children. It affects the people in your neighborhood, in your apartment complex. Because you come an open book, people are watching you. And without you opening your mouth to preach a word, you already preaching the gospel by the way you live. And by you being obedient to God and doing what God wants you to do, God will use you as a light and bring in the mailman, the lady that works at the grocery store, the people at the mall, anybody you come in contact with, God can touch them through you. Amen. However, if you reject it, if you turn it away, that's going to affect people around you too. Because as you go to hell, you're going to take a bunch of folks with you. Somebody say amen. Now look at this. Verse 33. And he took them the same hour. See, why? Why? Because salvation is urgent. It's a matter of urgency. It's not a matter of complacency. It's not a matter of convenient. Well, I didn't plan for this today. Maybe another time. That doesn't work because you're not guaranteed another time. There are folks that died today. Multitudes have gone into eternity without God. Too late for them. And no matter how much you love a person, you can't love nobody to heaven. But God has given you a chance like he gave them. And now they're gone. And as much as we don't want to accept it, we don't want to believe it, we need to love God more than we love any soul. God's got to be first. And so we have an opportunity. Now, people that have gone on to eternity, they've already gone. And I say this several times in different churches, and people raise their eyebrow at me. I said, in hell, there are no unbelievers. Why? They didn't believe till they got there. Now they believe, but it's too late. Don't let that be you. In the same hour. Somebody say same hour, in the same hour. And then the scripture says it again here in verse 33, same hour of the night, he washed their stripes, they were baptized, he and all his. How did they do it? Straightway, immediately, the same hour. That's how urgent this thing is, folks. You don't need to wait another second. If you believe it, obey it. If you believe it, do it. Amen. That's what God is looking for. And we don't have time now to play around. I look at everybody in this room and I'm looking at living, walking miracles. We had an earth-wide pandemic and you are still here. Why? Because God got a purpose for you. God got his hand on you. God is saying, I'm calling on you. Come on, come on, come on. You can be saved. And I'm going to close with this. This is one section where they ask the question, what must I do to be saved? Let's go to one more place where they ask the question. Acts chapter 2, if you will. Let's put this on the screen, verse 37. Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37. Now, I believe that if we do what they did, we will get what they got. I don't want no substitute. I don't want nothing fake. I want what they got in the Bible. And so, Acts chapter 2 and verse number 37. And when they heard this, have y'all been listening to the preacher? Have you been listening to the preacher? When they heard this, they were, that's what the word of God will do to you. It'll prick you in your heart. You're going to feel something. It might make you uncomfortable. You start shifting in your chair. Man, ooh, man, you mean I got to, get pricked in your heart. And you look like the preacher staring at you the whole service. Why are you looking at me? Man, he's still looking at me. You get pricked into your heart. And these emotions rise up and you know you're not where you need to be. They were pricked in their heart and they asked Peter and all the rest of the apostles the most important question. Men and brother, what shall we do? Hey, preacher, I'm not impressed by your theology and all your doctorates and your big house and your planes and all that sense. I don't care about all that stuff. I just need to know one thing. I need to know one thing. Tell me what I need to do. Tell me what I need to do. Now, before we go to the next verse, which is the answer, before we go there, I gotta warn you. The Apostle Peter said, it may be better that you not know than to know and walk away. And people are doing that, but there are others that are saying, that's it. Okay, I know I'm not where I need to be. I don't want to be lost. I want myself to be saved. I want my family saved. And I see it's in the Bible, and I'm going to do it. I've been praying about this. Lord, help me, show me, teach me. To hear this and walk away is like putting another nail in his hand. To hear this and walk away is like putting another nail in his feet. You're hurting him because of all he's done for you. You walk away. What shall we do? Here comes the answer, the next verse, 38. Then Peter said unto them, number one, you need to repent. Change direction right now. You don't need to wait 2 months. You don't need to get yourself together. You can't get yourself together. You need to say, okay, Lord, this is it. I'm sorry. I'm not running from you no more. I'm not running from you no more. I'm coming to you, Lord. Broken, messed up. I don't understand. That's okay. Jesus said, come as you are. Come as you are. But Brother Easter, you don't understand. I got problems. I got some addictions. All right. I can't quit. And I know it's not pleasing to God. I can't stop. And I don't want to give my life to the Lord and knowing I'm going to keep doing this. The Holy Ghost says, stop the things you can stop. I will stop the things you can't stop. He will break the addictions. He will break all that junk in your life. You just turn around and come to him. And when you repent, the next step, be baptized. Who is this for? Who is this for? Repent and be baptized. Who is it for? That's the person next to you too. That's the person behind you. Every one of you. Every one of you. Why? For the remission of your sins, the washing away of your sins. Being baptized, and the preacher say, Father, ain't no power in that. Son, there's no power in that. I baptize you in the name of the Holy Ghost, no power. But when I baptize in the name of Jesus, The spirit comes to the water. The blood comes to the water. And your sins are washed away. It's for your remission. And if you would obey God, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the power of God to help you live the way you're supposed to live. Because you can't do it in your own strength. You need the power. God promised, I'll give you the power. But I'll only give the spirit to those that obey me. Verse number 39, and we're going to finish up with 41. Verse number 39, watch this. For this promise is to you, and guess what? Your children. It's not just you. God going to bless your children. Not only your children, all that are far off. Even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And he'll start with you, just little old you. You have no idea how many people can be saved by you obeying God. The next verse. With many other words, he testified and he exhorted to the people, save yourself. Sister, save yourself. This is why we're here. Save yourself, brother. Save yourself! Then the last verse, and that's why I'm going to end it. The last verse says, then, at the end of the sermon, that's where we're at now. When Peter got done preaching, sweating and spitting all over the microphone. Then, everyone say then. They that, what? What? Your attitude is important. They that gladly. Oh, this is so clear. I see it. Thank you, Lord. They that gladly received. That's for me. That's for me. That I don't know about you, but that's for me. I received that. They didn't only receive it, but they were baptized. They did something. They did something. And the same day, somebody said, what day was it? What day was it? The same day, 3,000 souls. Count me in. You ain't got to beg me. Count me in. I want to go to heaven. Count. I know what I need to do. I'm not going to wait. 3,000 souls. Come on, preacher. I heard it, I received it, and I'm glad about it. Let's all stand. I want to be saved. I don't want to be entertained. I don't want to be made to feel good. I don't need to be bopping out of church, grinning and smiling on my way to hell. I want to be saved. This is the way. This is the truth. This is the life. It's got to be according to what they did. T.D. Jakes don't do it that way. All right, you go ahead and follow Jakes. Creflo Dollar don't never say this. You go ahead and follow Creflo. Myers, she said, go ahead and follow Myers if you want to. But I'm going to follow this. This is my map. These are my instructions. And it's so clear, a child can understand. Today's your day. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, if it was up to me, I would grab some people by their shoulders and shake them. Lord, if it was up to me, I would pray for angels to manifest and scare people out of their minds if it was up to me. But Lord, you chose by the foolishness of preaching to save those that would believe. And I'm praying in these last days, God, as the world gets more and more out of control and violence is sweeping the land, that people will have the heart, the yearning to say, I see it, I'll do it. I'm tired of running. I'm tired of running from here and there and listening to that voice and this voice. I hear you, Lord. You're talking to me. And Lord, I pray for a spirit of obedience to overflow. Break the shield. Break the barriers. Break down the pride. Break that spirit of fear and doubt. Fill them with faith and let them come today. Let them come today. In the name of Jesus Christ, Hallelujah. As Pastor already told us, we got the waters ready to baptize. We got change of clothes already prepared for you. We got everything prepared. All we need is you. All God is looking for is you. How many today will say, hey, preacher, you can count me in with that 3,000. Hallelujah. I want to be in that number when the saints go marching in. I want to be in that number. Sir, you need to be baptized. Would you come up to the front? Come on, ma'am. Just step out. Come on, we'll wait for you. You need to be baptized? Come on, sister. Look at that smile on her face. With joy. Come on. Don't wait for the devil to trick you out of your salvation. Jesus said, come unto me. In that neighbor, heavy laden, I want to give you rest. I want to give you peace. Come on, why are you waiting? Don't wait another second. Come on. If you don't want to come by yourself, ask somebody to come with you. But Lord, have mercy. I want to be saved. I want to be sure I'm saved. Would you come? There's more here today. There's more than just one. But the angels rejoice over one soul. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise again. What must I do? You must do it. To reject it. To turn away from it. It's horrible. If you happen to have any questions, don't leave with those questions. Ask, and we'd be glad to answer and help you. We want to help you. If some people say, well, I'm scared to get in the water. You know you ain't scared of no water. I will get baptized. I'm scared of water. Are you lying? You ain't scared of no water. Devil giving you all kinds of excuses. We are without excuse today. Are you willing? Church, close your eyes, bow your head one more time. Are you willing? Whosoever will. Not my will. Your will be done, Lord. Step out right now and come, because time is running out. Time is running out. Would you come? I want to be saved. I've got to be saved. My family, my children. Oh God, save us. Oh, if you're filled with the Holy Ghost, won't you let that language flow up out of you right now? We're coming against darkness. We're coming against the powers of Satan. In the name of Jesus, I defy you in the name of the Lord. I command that pride to come off of you right now. I bind the spirit of fear, confusion. Come quickly in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now before I close, if you've got family members that's not here and they need to be saved, you got aunts and uncles and cousins, co-workers, school friends, that they need to hear this message, then I want to invite you to come around the front, and together we're going to pray for our families, our friends, our co-workers, our associates. People need what you got. I want everybody to go to heaven, not just me and my family, but God, we're gathering in today. I want you to get these people in your mind. I want you to see their faces, and I want you to close your eyes and begin to intercede, because I believe angels are going to be released. I believe God's going to touch them right where they are today. He wants them saved. Could you come in a little closer? People coming behind you. In the name of Jesus, salvation is the greatest need. God, save my grandma. Save my uncle. Save my friends. They don't know what's going to happen. They don't know what's waiting for them. Interrupt them, oh God. Send a laborer into the field. Help them to see the truth. God, we bind up the spirit of religion, false teachers, false preaching. Oh God, let your truth prevail. Save us, Lord. Save today. Save by the multitude. Save all who would dare to hear. In the name of Jesus. 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 In the name of Jesus.
Hesitate.